Hello, and welcome to Feedback with Earbuds, a podcast recommendation podcast. I'm your host, Arielle Nissenblatt, and I'm the founder of Earbuds Podcast Collective. Earbuds is a weekly email newsletter that sends you a themed list of five podcast episodes, and each week is curated by a different person. Anyone can curate a list. Learn more and subscribe to the newsletter at earbudspodcastcollective.org. On this podcast, we'll follow the format of our newsletter. You'll learn about the curator of the week, their chosen theme, and the five episodes that they've selected as part of that theme. We'll also have some more podcast-related stuff thrown in here and there. Hopefully, you'll find a new podcast or two to check out. So, let's get into it. What are we listening to this week? Before we get started with today's episode, we want to tell you about our podcast and newsletter sponsor. Houses on the Moon Theater Company presents the Houses on the Moon podcast, an 8-episode series using storytelling to amplify the unheard voice. On the show, you'll hear remarkable, true accounts from parents of gender-expansive children, people impacted by gun violence, undocumented immigrants, and more. Plus, chats with changemakers about our world's most relevant topics. Listen and follow now wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, keep your ear to the ground. Also, I just want to shout out Houses on the Moon one more time. They sponsored Earbuds for the past month, and we really appreciate their support. Their show is absolutely worth checking out. I want to recommend one specific episode called Poor vs. Para. It tells the story of two teachers from very different parts of the world. One who gets bullied as a teacher for being gay. The other, who nervously awaits India's Supreme Court decision on whether or not he's considered a criminal. Definitely check out Houses on the Moon podcast. Supporting them supports us. This week's Earbuds recommendations come to us from Gabby Tropp. After we tell you about this week's podcast picks from Gabby, I'll be speaking with Brian Barletta, the brains and the voice behind the Sounds Profitable newsletter and podcast. Sounds Profitable is focused on breaking down the technical details of the podcast advertising space and making it accessible for everyone. Brian's your man when it comes to understanding all things ad tech in podcasting. If you've heard ads for Casper Mattress or BetterHelp or any of those food companies that send food right to your door, then you've heard of podcast ad tech and you've participated in it to a certain extent. So this conversation is for everyone. What does the future of podcast ad tech look like? How is it going to impact your podcast listening? You'll find out when I chat with Brian later in the show. As for our podcast recommendations, through Gabby's podcast picks, we'll explore the relationship between food and culture, particularly that of Southern Jewish culture. Gabby chose the theme Southern and Jewish. Why did she choose it? She writes, "I recently moved from New England to the Deep South to work at the Institute of Southern Jewish Life. The podcast episodes that fit my theme helped me to connect to my new home when travel and immersive experiences were impossible because of COVID. Plus, they helped me understand the narratives I use to describe Southern culture, Jewish culture, and Southern Jewish culture. I especially love this theme because I also moved from the Northeast to Jackson, Mississippi to work at the Institute of Southern Jewish Life. It was my first job out of college a few years ago, and it really had a big impact on me. It's where I first discovered that I love podcasts. So I'm really excited to share these podcast recommendations with you for this week. Here are the podcast recommendations that Gabby chose for this week's theme. The first episode is from the Southern Foodways Alliance podcast, Gravy, and the episode is called Corned Beef Sandwiches in the Delta. Here's the description. This episode discusses the annual tradition and sisterhood fundraiser of Hebrew Union Congregation in Greenville, Mississippi. This deli lunch day helps illustrate the Jewish community's relationship with the town, the changing demographics of Greenville's Jewish population, and many Jews' first love, deli food. The second episode comes from the same podcast, Gravy, and is called The Deli Diaspora. Here's what our curator says about this show. This episode talks about the Jackson, Mississippi restaurant, The Old Time Deli, which was so long a staple before it closed in 2000. The Old Time Deli opens the door to so much of the 20th century in Mississippi, especially civil rights and race relations and Jewish inclusion in secular and Christian society. Next up, from the podcast Schmaltzy via the Jewish Food Society, we have an episode called A Very Texan Rosh Hashanah with Zoe Kanan. Here's the description. Schmaltzy is a podcast where people tell the stories of their Jewish identities through an experience with Jewish food. In this episode, Zoe Kanan tells the story of her interfaith Southern family through a particularly poignant Rosh Hashanah, Jewish New Year, dinner. The next recommendation comes from the podcast, Americana Music Profiles Podcast, and the episode is called Nefesh Mountain Podcast. Our curator writes, "The Americana Music Profiles Podcast interviewed Eric Lindberg from the Jewish bluegrass band Nefesh Mountain a few years back. In this episode, Lindberg spoke about the roots of their music and what it means to him that they combine Southern and Jewish musical and lyrical stylings." The last recommendation of this week's theme, Southern and Jewish, comes from, again, Gravy, and the episode is called The Last Jews of Natchez. Here's a description. There has been a Jewish community in Natchez, Mississippi for 175 years, and Robin Amer's family has been part of it for 160 of them. But now, the number of Jews in Natchez has dwindled to only a handful. In this episode, Robin returns to learn what culinary tradition might disappear when they're gone. Thank you to our curator, Gabby, for bringing these episodes to Earbuds Podcast Collective this week. We'll have a link in the show notes to all of these episodes and more. In addition to our weekly 5 podcast picks, we also like to spotlight a podcast at the bottom of our newsletter. The idea is that even if you have no interest in this week's theme, you can still check out the Spotlit podcast for some more audio content. Podcasters, if you want to have your podcast spotlit in our newsletter and on the homepage of our website, we have an application link in the show notes of this episode. For the month of June, we spotlit podcasts created by members of the LGBTQ+ community. We're extending that theme another week or so because Pride can't be contained to just one month. This week, we're spotlighting a podcast called One from the Vaults. Here's what it's all about. One from the Vaults is a trans history podcast by Morgan M. Page that brings you all the dirt, gossip, and glamour from trans history. We listen to episodes featuring trans artists, mystics, AIDS activists, and more. You can find One for the Vaults wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll have a link to it in the show notes. Next up, it's time for the interview portion of Feedback with Earbuds. Today, I'm speaking with Brian Barletta. I told you a bit about Brian up at the top of the show, so let's jump right into our chat. Brian Barletta of Sounds Profitable fame, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Glad to have you here. So let's kick it off with some information about Sounds Profitable. For folks who are not subscribed or don't know about it, give us a quick rundown. What is Sounds Profitable?
Gosh, okay. I'm trying to refine this every time because I'm way better at writing than speaking. Sounds Profitable is built to teach everybody about podcast advertising and ad tech. Specifically, ad tech advertising just gets pulled along for the ride. It's absolutely aimed at the mid to upper tier of the industry. But the reason I do that is that it's a point that people can aim for. So if you want to get into the industry and work not on the microphone, not on the editing side, but in like the business side of things, then reading Sounds Profitable is going to educate you on the tools that will help you get to those larger companies and work with them. Or if your business is booming in podcasting and you want to get there, the tools you use from day one can be the same tools you use, you know, when you hit your millions. So this is to teach you how to get the most out of them, what people are doing with them, and how we need to be thinking about using them.
That was a beautiful explanation. So you have both a podcast and a newsletter, right?
I do. Yeah. So it started as the newsletter in September 2020. In January 2021, we kicked off the podcast. The main focus of the podcast was to be a test bed for all the crazy ideas, because it's very easy for me to sit here and say, like, everybody should have a premium feed and then not create a premium feed. So I figured every single thing that I would talk about, I would put into practice, and I would absolutely guilt everybody who reads to listen to the podcast and then participate so that they can see what it's like for their listeners and then see the end results for what they'd execute on so they know both sides.
What is the latest experiment you are trying right now?
So right now in July, we have the Edison Research do-it-yourself listener study going live. So Edison does a managed version. And basically for the entire month, every single episode of the podcast is going to give you a specific link to go fill out an Edison Research made study that's going to tell me all about the people who listen to the podcast. And the end result is, as long as we get over 100 people to respond back, then in August, the Edison team is actually going to do a guest article where they break it all down so that people know what's valuable about it. And that means that anybody can take this template. It doesn't matter if you're just starting off or you've been at it for a while. You can take this template, build your own survey, put it live, and then you can use the example that Edison does with me to figure out what it all means when it comes back.
And what are the benefits for podcasters to learn about their listeners? Why are you doing this? And why do you hope other people will do it?
I focus aggressively on advertising and advertising technology. So for me, what this says is it's another path for a podcast to represent themselves. You know, there are so many different ways to sell your inventory. You can do it per 1,000 impressions, which is CPM. You can do it programmatically by just letting it out there into the ecosystem and just saying, this is what I don't want. Everything else is fine. But I'm really into the idea of empowering individual shows to say, hey, this is exactly why I'm unique. And this is why we should do something custom, because if you didn't want to do something custom and hands-on, you'd be buying Facebook ads. So I think the listener survey on the advertising side allows somebody to say, I capture an audience like nobody else. And this is proof of it, backed by an Edison study, whether you do it yourself or you pay for their logo and their expertise, which is super worth it. And then on the content side, I'm really excited to see it tell me that the episodes I think are the best are not the best, or that there's segments of the show that just aren't working, so we can start cutting them out.
That's really interesting. So somebody can set up a survey for their podcast and then take the data that they get from that and bring that to advertisers and say, here's the people who are listening to the show. Here's where they live. Here's what their income is. Therefore, this product would work really well with my audience.
Yeah, because there's so much of advertising focuses on the real and the individual. And I think it's super valuable to be able to do that. But podcasting is closer to radio and out of home than it is to like going to a website where it knows so much about you. So I think it's better for a podcast to say we've surveyed a large enough sample of our audience to say that it skews female, it skews, you know, higher income earners, it skews people who are interested in buying a truck. And instead of saying, 55% of my people are female. So why don't we run a campaign and try and target that only if they're on a household connection and we can guess that the household is registered to a woman and target it that way. This gives you a more holistic way to say, enough of my audience is something, therefore you should work with me completely.
Something that I've heard you say a lot on your show, on the podcast, Sounds Profitable, and in the newsletter is that podcast ad tech is for anybody, not just the big podcast. It can be down to the people who just have recorded one episode. So anybody who's listening to this show right now can benefit from learning more about podcast ad tech. So where can people subscribe to your newsletter and make sure they're staying up to date on everything that you're doing?
Yeah, you can do it at soundsprofitable.com, and it'll have all the links to the newsletter, to the podcast, to the premium feed, which includes a narrated version of the articles if you don't have time to read it. And then we link out to all the cool things we do. We do deep dives every month where we go into like how to actually in-depth use a piece of technology. The soundsprofitable.com website is probably the core for it. On that point, here's a great example. Anchor is a free service, and Anchor offers dynamic ad insertion. So while it's not as robust as, you know, Spotify's other counterpart, Megaphone, or some of the other ones that you can pay more monthly for, if on day one you use Anchor, which a lot of people are not a fan of in this space, you can still use ad tech. You can still get used to it. It might not be the same level that you're going to be using forever, but you can mess around. You can try out all these things, and you really should.
I agree completely. One of the new segments that you have on your newsletter is called REL's Recs, or REL's Recommendations. And that is a nice transition as to what I want to talk to you about next. So REL's Recommendations, I am REL, R-E-L, Ariel.
What? You are?
I am. And each week I offer a podcast recommendation in your newsletter in Sounds Profitable. So that's yet another reason to subscribe. But Brian, I'm curious about your podcast recommendations. What was the first podcast that got you into listening?
You know, I thought it was Serial, and that was definitely the one that like really hooked me back in. But I started looking and I started checking release dates for things, and it was Thrilling Adventure Hour, which is a stage show in the theme of old time radio with Mark Gagliardi, Paul F. Tompkins, Paget Brewster, amazing comedians. And they do all these like radio drama style segments, and they do it live. I've never had the opportunity. No, I lied. I saw it once in Brooklyn and it was amazing. They've been live for a long time, and I've been such a big fan of them. 2012? Earlier?
Wow. Early adopter to podcast listening. Nice.
But I fell off. I mean, like that was the only entry point. I don't think I really grasped it. I definitely didn't feel it was the type of thing that like, because I listened to that podcast, then I was a podcast listener. I just listened to that. I definitely went through my, I'm an idiot living in New York in my 20s phase and listened to like Tim Ferriss a lot. Never got into the infamous Joe Rogan. Mm. Just couldn't relate, thankfully.
Thankfully.
And then now it's a little bit of everything. I take a lot of great recommendations from you. So I always appreciate it. Yeah.
Love that. So what recommendation do you have for us now? What have you been listening to lately?
It's called the Lost Bay podcast. It's very small. It just started out a few months ago, I think. And I'm really into tabletop role-playing games. I started with Dungeons and Dragons forever ago. And I just found that like it didn't hit everything I wanted. I felt like I was trying too hard to make it do everything I wanted to do. So I started digging into different types of role-playing games. And I think that especially during the pandemic, a lot of other people did. And this podcast is very cool because it talks to the creators about like what inspired them to do it, a little bit about their game. And it just kind of shows like the personality of it, because there are hundreds and thousands of games out there by small creators that are on Itch, which is like an independent game site. Or there's a lot of them are on Kickstarter, like making their own books. And I'm a sucker and I buy all of them. So hearing the creator of a game that I like be interviewed by someone really intelligent about the space has been really fun.
That's awesome.
You know what? Let's do an exclusive here. Yeah, let's. Okay, so I reached out to Ariel about this idea. So Sounds Profitable was all about educating people. And Ariel has been so amazing at getting people open to the idea, right? Getting me to a different type of audience. And so I reached out and we've started collaborating. Ariel is going to be my co-host on the Sounds Profitable podcast for season 2.
This is very true. I am very excited to join you and personally to learn more about ad tech. I am very much buying into the idea that the future is ad tech. This industry is going to be a $2 billion industry in just a few years. So I definitely recommend that everybody listening to Feedback with Earbuds should subscribe to this newsletter, become aware of the major possibilities for your podcast and for yourself if you're looking to level up in the podcast world, possibly work in the podcast world behind the scenes, not so much in production, like Brian said. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot that can happen if we implement podcast ads or if we implement podcast ad tech in our production flow. So that brings me, Brian, to my next question, which is, if you have this at the top of your head, or if you want to just give another example, what is a podcast ad that really sticks out to you? Who or what podcast gives a really great podcast ad read?
I tend to like ad reads the first time I hear them. I think that that's the real truth of it, is that when I listen to podcasts, I'm a creature of habit. So I'll either binge something or I like if they release daily or weekly, I'll get on that cadence. When I can tell or when I feel like it's the same exact copy, throws me off. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning of the pandemic, I was a huge Scrubs fan. So I always mess up the order. Is it Fake Doctors, Real Friends?
Yes, I listen to it all the time. I love it.
Somewhere around binging like the first season, because I fell behind real quick because they put out a lot of episodes.
Move fast.
Yeah. They kept using the same 2-minute long exploding burrito ad to the, I was just like, I can't, but you know what? I'm going to give a shout out. My favorite two executions are in Wow in the World and Molly of Denali.
Both kid podcasts.
Yes. Yeah. So my son is almost 3 and we listen to a lot of kid podcasts, which is amazing because the ads basically say, grownups, this message is for you. My son will repeat that. He absolutely is paying attention to it. But it's not just like, pow, bam, boom. Do you want to be He-Man and eat sugary cereal? And like, it's definitely not the ads I lived through that like I bugged my parents about. And so like, there was BetterHelp, right? Like, it was so cool. It was like, support for this podcast is made, or this podcast is made possible by BetterHelp. And I'm just like, how cool of them to, you know, you just think about it in a different way. It's not just like, and here's, you know, my brother, me says, and the money zone. And I'm like, thanks guys. You know, real slick.
Yeah.
But this was just like, hey, without this, we couldn't make this. And I'm like, I want to support that. That's really interesting. And they did a Hooked on Phonics one. Hmm. PRX did an IKEA one that was just like, all it said was like, hey, you have kids, make sure your furniture is secured to the wall. And I would turn to my wife and be like, is it all secured to the wall? I like it. I like ads as content. And I think that we can learn so much from that. From one, the producer read spots, because they're not going to be, Molly of Denali herself is not going to read an ad. And two, the ones in kids' podcasts, because they have to dance a different line because it's so delicate. Our kids aren't watching cable TV. They're not, you know, we buy YouTube Red or whatever it's called, so we don't have to see ads on whatever it is. So anything that feels like an ad in front of our child, we're hyperprotective of. So much we can learn from it.
Yeah, that kind of brings me to a challenging question, potentially. What do you say to consumers who, they understand that ads are necessary, but they're annoyed by them?
Well, I think that if you really are invested in the podcast, I think you should figure out a way to let them know what you did like about the ads. If there are ones that you do like and you can reference it, I think that's really great, because they can use that as material to go pursue that that advertiser to come back. You might not buy that specific product, but if you could say, oh, it was really appealing, I like the story you were telling around it, or whatnot, that's valuable there. I think we have to acknowledge that we get a substantial amount of free content with way less ads than other things. Turn on the radio and listen to what percentage of ads there are. Yeah. Look at a newspaper, look at a magazine. Magazine and newspapers are things you pay for to then be full of ads, right?
Cable TV. Cable TV is nuts.
Yeah. Take the bold plunge and pay for Hulu ad supported and see how many episodes you can get through. Advertisement isn't always great, in the same way that content isn't always great. If you hit that like surprise me button on Netflix, you're going to skip a lot of those surprises in the same way you'd skip a lot of ads. So I think that you need to determine your comfort level with that show. You need to see if they have an ad-free option if it's not interesting for you, because honestly, that's probably a better deal for both of you. But give feedback, as long as it's not like, I hate ads. Tell them what you like and give them the material and the empowerment to go find ads that might appeal to you.
Love that. What's your ideal ad read? Who would you love to hear reading an ad for what product?
It's so funny. You can reflect back on it, like the organizations like the Milk Foundation and things like that, or the milk, where milk does a body good, right? A bunch of people got together and did that.
The milk mustaches.
I think that there are a lot of those are really bad, the groups that get together and like push these mindsets and stuff. But I think there could be some really interesting ones that get people into it, right? Banding together around mental health, banding together around just co-working or other big concepts. So I would love to see something like that in podcasting. I think there's a neat collaborative nature of podcasting, and there's a neat community nature, and it's an intimate listening experience, because the cliches are all lightly true, right? There's some truth in it. So I would have to say that kind of want to hear Obama do an ad read.
That's literally what I was going to say.
Because he just feels like my friend.
Yeah.
I would buy probably whatever stupid thing he did, but I would rather him talk about something I can't buy, right? Mm-hmm. I'd rather him do an ad about voting, or an ad about becoming an activist, or an ad about, you know, like a PSA, like get more PSAs in here. Like, just tell us how to be good people and give back. That would be fun.
Awesome. Brian Barletta, thank you for joining me on Feedback with Earbuds. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much for having me.
My appreciation to Brian Barletta for taking the time to speak with me in the virtual earbud studio powered by Squadcast. We'll link to all of Brian's socials and the things that he mentioned in the show notes. And of course, we're back next week with another interview. With that, we're going to wrap it up. We'll be back next week with more podcast recommendations from Earbuds Podcast Collective. Feedback with Earbuds is written by Maya Rubin and me, Ariel Nissenblatt. It's hosted by me. It's mixed and put together by Daniel Turek, whose work you can find at robotslack.com. And our newsletter is edited by the amazing Abby Kleonski. Until next week, stay safe and happy listening.